Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by...
Ben Arrington.
Mr. Ben. How's it going?
Mr. Ben. I'm good, Mr. Luke.
Thank you very much.
How the devil are you?
Feeling pretty good. This is a weird time because it's not as late as normal and it's not as early as that one we did.
It's a confusing time for everybody involved.
Yeah. And did the clocks go back? I got up this morning and it was dark again.
No. They haven't gone back. I think maybe they did in America.
How can the time be different in America?
Like, I don't know. Time zones, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
It happens at a different time in America.
Yeah.
But they haven't gone back yet. Soon, or something. Yes. Actually, I say soon, but I never know. Whenever it happens, it's always a huge surprise to me.
Yeah.
Got to go back this Sunday. I always go, what?
That's why I was confused. No way. Because I think I saw an American tweet about it, maybe. And then this morning it was darker than it has been. And I was like, oh, the clocks have obviously gone back now.
Yeah. I couldn't live my life like that, not knowing. I'd want to be in control of knowing if the clocks have gone back. Because iPhones and stuff like that,
they do automatically,
the clocks go back, automatically. So the clock's going to come back 10 times. I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like living in this world.
Yeah. No, I like it. Anyway. So last week we talked about The Devil Rides Out, the classic Hammer horror film. And tonight we are discussing the 1942 RKO classic Cat People. So what the hell is Cat People, Ben?
I feel like we should have worn like cat ears and possibly drawn some whiskers on our face. Cat people.
I've got some cat ears somewhere. They belong
where?
To
where? Can you grab them right now? Because if not, that would be perfect.
I don't know where they are.
Oh man,
I've got a cat somewhere.
All right.
He might pop up later. Yeah,
that's good. That would be interesting. Hopefully, some meows will happen now and again. I'd like that. But shall I tell you a little bit about cat people?
Yes, please. I could put some meows in posts in the edit.
Yeah. Do loads of meows like we're surrounded by cats while we're doing it. That'd be good.
We have to talk louder then, as if you're talking over like an annoying amount of cats meowing.
Oh, shut up, you lot. Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. So Cat People. It's a 1942 horror film produced by Val Lewton and directed by Jacques Tornier. We're probably butchering these names. DeWitt Bodine wrote the original screenplay, which was based on Val Lewton's short story, The Bag-Eater, published in 1930. The film stars Simone Simon, Kent Smith, Jane Randolph, and Tom Conway. And brief synopsis here. An American man marries a Serbian immigrant who fears that she will turn into the cat person of her homeland's fables if they are intimate together. That is quite a short synopsis, but we'll get into it.
So this is what the clever folks over at Empire Magazine said.
So you're calling them clever folks now?
And I thought I'd been so derogative to them recently.
They've been upgraded to clever folks.
Yeah, to those clever people. So with Universal knocking out horror films like There Was No Tomorrow, RKO tasked producer Val Lewton with creating some similar action. The results were not what the studio expected. Far from the monster mash they'd asked for, Cat People, directed by Jacques Tonnier, so that's why I'm going for it, opted for more psychological chills and a still surprising concept centered on a woman who's afraid to consummate her marriage because of her belief that sexual climax would turn her into a panther. Paul Schrader's 80s remake took full advantage of the modern potential for effects and erotica, but Tonnier's more subtle scares are all about stalking and shadows. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 93% fresh. It's very fresh for a very old.
That's incredibly fresh. Yeah, 93% fresh.
Metacritic gave it 7.4%, and Roger Ebert gave it 4. That's because he does stuff out of 4, so it's 4 out of 4. We asked the people in the... that's just the way it does it. So we asked people in a little Facebook group, the Horror Hangout Board of Advisors, and Thomas Smith said... last week, we did Devil Rides Out, and we thought it was... Well, I thought it was good. Ben didn't like it so much. Thomas Smith said, I reckon you might possibly enjoy this one more than Devil Rides Out. Despite its age, it definitely focuses a lot more on character and atmosphere, and so even if the scares are dated, you're still more invested than something like the Hammer films. And I think that's true. I think it was good.
I was pretty into it, I think, throughout. Pretty invested, as he said, pretty invested in the characters.
Yeah.
It kind of felt quite genuine. You kind of felt that you could understand the trials and tribulations of sort of all of the characters involved, particularly sort of like the main character.
Arena.
You got to talk about Arena.
Well, so I've got some background information. I figured this would be, David tweeted us to say that we're not doing enough like research. So I thought I'd do a little bit of background information. So this film came in the wake of Citizen Kane, which was a financial disaster for RKO. So they needed some money. I mean, Citizen Kane obviously is like, you know, it's one of the, I think, pretty much the greatest film of all time now. But back then it didn't do too well financially. So they were in a hole. And they asked producer Val Lewton, who was also a journalist, novelist, and poet, and also had a phobia of cats, funnily enough, to make a film based off of the title alone. And they gave him $150,000 for these films he was going to make, and Cat People brought in $4 million, saved the company, pretty much became a model for a whole slew of horror films in a similar sort of vein. So they just made them based on these titles, with similar budgets, similar locations, and that kind of thing. And yeah, I thought it was great. I think you're right. Go on.
Is that quite a low budget for like a film of this magnitude in this era? It does seem like quite a low budget, even for those days.
Thomas said it was made for $150,000, I was like, was that not a lot of money back then? Like, I'm kind of confused as to what would make a lot of money back then. but judging by the fact that people say it was only made for $150,000, I'm assuming it wasn't a lot of money.
I mean, I'm a bit confused by that, but it still sounds like not a lot for back then.
So I mean, it wasn't. So I think what there's one in terms of locations. There's the zoo. There's the house. The brownstone swimming pool, restaurant, cafe type place, and the architect's office. There are like 5 locations, and these locations.
There are a few like sort of street scenes, aren't there?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Is that just the outside of the zoo? For some reason, I had it in my mind that it was like alongside the zoo.
Possibly. I don't think it's clear at that point.
Yeah, if not really, I've just made that sort of assumption. So have you seen this before?
No. I have not seen Cat People before, unfortunately.
Have you ever had the 80s remake?
No, I haven't seen that either. I didn't even realize that this had been remade either until I was doing a little bit of research into the film. So it was like 1982 remake, wasn't it? I imagine from seeing just the poster alone, I didn't watch a trailer or anything. I imagine they've sexed it right up.
It looked quite sexy. It's quite a sexy poster.
It looks ever so sexy. It's like a woman. She's just like just coming out of the bath or something. I don't know, but she looks a bit feline, doesn't she? A little bit. but yeah, so they've obviously sexed it right up.
Yeah. So this is the 1940s version is sort of a not so sexy version of it. But like,
oh, I find it plenty sexy, man. I find it plenty sexy.
I mean, so initial thought. So when I watch this, like, I watch this and I kind of feel like there's a lot of films, like mumblecore films, that are trying to like ape this style. So it doesn't really feel that dated in a way. Like, I think of like Francis Ha and some of those like more independent films, and they do this sort of black and white, very chilled sort of relaxed style of acting, and it didn't seem that dated to me, not really.
No, I don't think it did. I mean, obviously, it's obviously influenced a lot of modern cinema so greatly, not just horror stuff, but obviously just like thrillers and everything. Yeah. It's influenced it so greatly, not just this film, but obviously other films from probably that era. But it doesn't seem dated, because a lot of these practices and a lot of these sort of the style of things that are happening, you're kind of already, you feel very familiar with.
Yeah.
Very, very, very familiar sometimes with that sense of dread and that sense of tension. And when everything kind of goes quiet, you're kind of expecting something. And that was quite interesting to witness of a film of this sort of era.
Because there's like the constraint, like budget constraints, they couldn't do those special effects type stuff that we'd watch now and go, that's very, very dated.
A lot of what you see in terms of the horror elements or the strange happenings do happen, either happen off screen, or what we do kind of get to see is so minimal that it's kind of doesn't really feel like it's almost like you're like, is that a special effect? Or is that just my eyes playing tricks on me?
Yeah, like most of it. Is it just a film like stuck or something? Like there's a few moments where it's like, oh, was that a shadow moving, or is that?
Yeah. Like you kind of become accustomed to, like, if you see, because there are a lot of use of like shadows of, say, either a transformation or like just the cat or the panther being somewhere, and then you'd see, like, you kind of half expect to see like a perfect shadow of like a cat like coming down the stairs, or a perfect shadow of a cat.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you can't really see what it is. It's just like a shadow, like someone slung a bag of potatoes down the stairs or something.
Yeah.
you kind of just see like a quick like flash of something.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Did you think this was a straight up horror film? So we've talked about this a bit in these films. A lot of them haven't really been straight up horror.
I wasn't really sure. I guess no, because from what I'd say, I think before we went into it, I did a little bit of research, looked into, so I think I saw like a brief trailer, and then I saw a few things. So I kind of get the gist of what it is, because it is kind of like it's a bit of a psychological one again. Not a straight up horror. I mean, there's absolutely no, there's no gore, or there's no like death.
Yeah.
Or is there?
There is.
Yeah, at the end.
But I know what you mean. I think it's got sort of like the horror concept in a way, but like a dark fantasy concept, but it's very much like a psychological thriller to me. And I thought it was really cool. I really liked it. So in terms of the key players, we've got Simone Simon as Irina Dubrovna Reed, who's a Serbian immigrant. She's like the main woman. She's the woman who believes she's descended from, I think they call them Mamelukes or something like that, who are this tribe of people who turned into cats.
The actress is not Serbian, she's French, is that
that's
right?
That's right, and I thought she was good, very good in this role.
Yeah, I liked her. It was almost like she was quite vulnerable.
Yeah.
But there was something a little bit sinister, because she seemed very vulnerable and very sort of delicate for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was only sort of like as we got towards the end, you started to see the sort of sinister nature, which kind of manifested itself initially as like a jealousy type thing.
Yeah.
Green-eyed monster, eh? Green-eyed monster coming out.
I think the fact that she obviously had a pretty strong foreign accent, and she didn't like to be touched, and all this kind of, she was very isolated, and like it did very much feel.
Luke, your headphones have changed like pretty much immediately. I mean, that was crazy. What happened there?
Got hungry ears.
Hungry ears.
I don't even know what I'm saying then. So other main characters, we've got Kent Smith as Oliver Reed, who's like this idealized husband
I love how his name's Oliver Reed. He said that a few times. I was like, really? Is your character name Oliver Reed? Well, I guess came before, isn't it? Because at this point, Oliver Reed, it was 4 years old. So they kind of...
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So he's this very, like a sort of the perfect husband character. Like,
yeah, at one point he even calls himself a good old fashioned Americano.
That's the thing. That's exactly the right.
And it was like I salivated at that particular moment, thinking I'd love a coffee at that particular time.
I'd love an
good
Oliver.
Old fashioned. I love an Oliver Reed Americano.
Yeah,
but yeah. He's like the sort of he says at one point in the scene that he's never been unhappy. Everything's kind of been fine.
Yeah.
He says, he sort of says, my childhood was
never
swell.
Really been unhappy, I don't think. And
now he's unhappy. So you're like, come on, mate. Get in the real world, Oliver Reed. Get in the real world. It's getting a lot more difficult from here on out.
I think I'll cheat on my wife. That's like his first.
I think I'll cheat on my wife, yeah. But I also noticed that this was is it strange for things like infidelity and divorce to be discussed in like films in the 40s, because I always thought it was strange for that to be quite, because it was sort of addressed, like they talked about annulling, divorcing, and then kind of not really, he didn't really cheat on his wife, but it was more like he was leaving his wife for somebody else.
I do think this is set in New York, right? So I do think maybe they were a bit more open to that kind of thing over there. But like, I do agree. I think doing this, divorcing her, would have put her in a more difficult position as being, I know in England it was always seen as like a terrible thing. You seen like as a spinstress or like a catwoman. Yeah, maybe that's what they were going for.
Yeah, catwoman. This is basically the prequel to the Halle Berry Catwoman standalone movie. When you just forgot about Batman Returns and said, look, eventually she ended up. Do you know what? I've never actually seen that. Halle Berry.
I have.
As Catwoman.
I have.
Seen some like weird clips of it where she's like playing basketball.
It's such a weird film. Like, it's so tonally not in the Batman universe. Like, it's. I don't even know what they were trying to do with it. But don't watch that one.
Well, I might do. I like watching awful stuff. So, maybe one day I'll get around to it.
Yeah. And then we've got Alice, Jane Randolph as Alice Moore, who's like the bunny boiler. She's like the other option. So when Oliver starts to think his marriage isn't working and he's unhappy, he starts to confide in his colleague at work.
I don't know if she did come across, to me, I don't know if she came across too much like a bunny boiler. She was a bit more like a...
Well, I'm thinking like a 1940s bunny boiler, because she just says, I love you, didn't she? Like she...
Just drops that in there.
I think she only says that because she knows he's unhappy. Because I'm sure that might even be the same scene.
Yeah, I think it might be. Where do they work? I was confused as to where they work. Like architects.
Architects. Or... Yeah.
I think I kind of missed where they worked. It's in a little office.
Yeah, I just saw him drawing pictures, like doodling lines and stuff.
Just bloody New doodling, aren't they? Doodling.
It's New York doodling. Probably an architect. They've got rulers. and then the only other real character, I mean, there's a few more, but the only other character of note, I think, is Tom Conway as Dr. Lewis Judd, who's a sort of old-fashioned psychiatrist, which me and Kat were watching, we were like, is there were the psychiatrists back then? Was that like a thing? But I guess it must have been.
Yeah, psychiatrists who eventually try to take advantage of their vulnerable patients. And he also had a sword. Right?
Yeah, it had a sword hidden in his walking stick.
I wouldn't trust this guy, right? I wouldn't trust this guy. If I walked in and I was like, hey there, mate, gonna do a bit of psychiatry on me? Is that a sword you got there? I'm out. See you later.
And I don't know what to say about him, really, other than he sort of... I don't know. What did he do? Did he do anything?
He was a lovely mustachioed gent. I think he seemed like he was trying to help...
Oliver.
But also Irina, he was also trying to help her, it seemed like, at the start at least, but then eventually, and then obviously he did kind of give some advice that where Oliver Reed said, I can't divorce Irina, not while she's in a terrible mental state, because apparently it's, you said it's like illegal, or you can't do it or something.
Once she's in like a mentally handicapped state or diagnosed as such, you can't just divorce them then.
This is good to know for a future reference.
don't
leave me.
Yeah, because like you're only divorcing them because of the disability, which, I mean, I guess it's up to them if they want to do that, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
You can do it now, can't you? You can do it left, right, and centre now.
Yeah, people are always getting divorced, aren't they? So the story, we open in Central Park Zoo, Irina is doodling pictures. Actually, a very nice picture, very clean. Looks like a tattoo. She's doodling pictures of the panther in the cage, and then Oliver Reed pops over, says, how you doing?
What's he doing there? I want to know what Oliver Reed is doing there. Is he just walking around the zoo specifically to pick up women? Is that what he's doing? Is that his MO?
Well, he just goes around the zoo looking for women. Yeah, but is this the first person he married? Like, it's a very good pickup technique.
Yeah, that's true. Or he might have like had lots and lots of other failed relationships from meeting people at the zoo.
Yeah.
Prior to this, this was like the only one. Did you feel that their relationship moved quite quickly?
Oh yeah.
Or do you feel like it was supposed to have taken place over the course of months? Or
I think it probably did take place over the course of months, but I still thought it moved quickly because before like they even knew each other's name, I think he picked up her stuff and like was like moving her like chair. To help her sort of take it back to her house. And I was like,
oh yeah,
are you robbing that?
If you don't know my name, get your hands off my chair. That's what I say.
Yeah. No one's allowed to touch my chair unless they, you know, buy me breakfast.
Well, there we go. Yeah. So they kind of like fall in love from that point, don't they?
Yeah. To go back to her house, she lives in a lovely brownstone.
It's a lovely place she's got.
I was thinking,
oh yeah, like that, is it? Lovely place.
Yeah. There's a statue in there she's got of, I can't remember the guy's name, but it's something like Sir John, or it's like a guy on a horseback with like a cat impaled on his sword. And he was meant to, she tells Oliver, goes, who the bloody hell is that? And then she says, so this is the guy, he came to Serbia to where her hometown basically. Killed or vanquished all of these Mamelukes, these cat people who were Satanist type characters. And is it that at that point, does she think she's related to those cat people?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And then she sort of says something about it, and Oliver Reed is like, sounds like a load of old tripe. And she goes, just a bloody story, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But clearly, she doesn't think it's a stupid story because she's obsessed. Thinking she's some sort of cat person.
Yeah. And then she doesn't like, I think we just have like a bit of a soft romance here. So I think he goes and he comes back and they, I'm trying to remember what the next scene is, but.
He gets her a pet.
Yeah. So he gets her the kitten.
Shoved in a shoebox.
And the kitten doesn't like her. Oh, yeah. Like, it just takes it to work like it's his lunch or something.
Yeah.
And then it's just like a kitten just stuck in this box.
Squashed into a shoebox. He goes, I've got a present for you. It's a bloody kitten. And then don't like her. It comes out like that.
Two fingers up, yeah.
Just goes, yeah, how'd you like that?
Yeah, smokes a cigarette and kicks a door in.
Just comes in, slaps, gives her a backhand.
Yeah.
Straight across the back of the head. She's like, Jesus.
You ain't my real mother. Anyway, so this kitten doesn't like her. So they take it back to the pet shop. None of the animals in the pet shop like her. They're all suspicious of it. And And then they get a canary. And then that's it. She's got like a little canary as a pet. And then it goes, this is what you were saying. So it goes very quickly. All of a sudden, he asks to marry her.
Yeah. He's having a little sleep, and then he wakes up, and she's been watching him. She's like, I've been watching you sleep. Creepy.
That's what cats do, though. That's what cats do.
do they?
Well, Oscar does. Like, sometimes I just wake up, there's a windowsill next to my bed, and he's just staring at me.
And then you just shove him in a shoebox and take him to work.
Come on, Oscar.
So then they ask her to marry him. Bearing in mind, obviously, come on, I'm not going to judge relationships like this.
Yeah.
But bearing in mind, I mean, they've not been intimate with each other. He even says at one point that he hasn't kissed her. He hasn't given her the old old tonsil hockeys. None of that. And
Have they even held hands? I don't think so.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Have they held hands? What have they done? They spooned? Have they spooned even once? Did they share the same bed?
I don't know.
Already it's bad. Yeah. I just already know this is going to end up in divorce, guys.
Yeah. Are you saying you wouldn't marry someone unless you spooned them first?
Unless I've done quite a lot of things, mate. Unless I've done quite a lot of things. No, I think spooning, that's the... You know, we got to know if we're compatible.
If your shapes fit together,
because you don't want to feel like Yoda on Luke Skywalker's back when you're spooning somebody.
Yeah,
and I got to be the big spoon. Like if someone goes, I want to be the big spoon, I want to say no, this ain't happening because it just feels wrong.
If they had done the spoon test, and then he'd woke up in the middle of the night with her purring, like poddling his chest, and like. Just like curled up onto his bed, he'd be like, "No, yeah, you are a cat person."
He'd be like, "I like it." He'd be like, "Yeah, I quite like it." Yeah, she didn't. At this point, she's not doing very many catty things, like she's not like running out the curtains or something.
Oh yeah, it's not in the litter tray in the corner.
Like... in the litter tray in the corner. What are you doing over there? just going to the toilet in the litter tray. Ah, right, okay, yeah.
Well, I thought she was kind of cat-like. I think I don't know if it's just the way they did her hair and her face and stuff, and the way she sort of moved. Maybe not so much cat-like, but extremely sort of effeminate and almost like dancey. Like whereas Oliver was much more normal.
Yeah, it wasn't like it didn't like smash you in the face. Like she didn't just like hiss at something or just like
It wasn't over the top like that. Yeah,
lick her own ass.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just trying to think of better cat metaphors. I should think of some more, shouldn't I? She had a really sandpapery tongue.
They've got really gritty tongues, cats are. So they get married, and then as part of the celebration, all the friends are there in the cafe, and then this woman comes over who is extremely cat-like. So she's got like a hair done up like little cat ears. She's
almost too cat-like.
Like she's putting it on, like she's doing a cosplay or something. She's completely catted out, and she says something to Irina. I think it's Moya Sestra or something like that. And she didn't know who this woman is, but she assumes jumps to the conclusion that this is another of her tribe, another of her cat people, another Mameluke. And then they go home, and then the point at which they're supposed to consummate the marriage. She's like, nah, tired, mate. And then she goes into the bedroom, closes the door, and locks him out. And I think that's the first time we see a literal block and separation in them as a couple. And this is the night of the wedding, so it's really not going to go well from here.
He's got to be absolutely fuming, absolutely furious,
ready
he's
to burst. Like
I am gonna bloody have it. Cat people getting in the way of my life all the time.
Yeah,
it was poor Oliver Reed. Poor Oliver Reed at this point. I mean, I know he ain't gone through a lot of shit in his life. He's had a pretty decent spell.
Yeah,
he says it himself. But I do feel a bit sorry for him at this point because he is a lovely. He's a lovely bloke, isn't he? He's a lovely bloke.
Yeah, I was saying it's kind of like he's not really a bad person per se. It just wasn't happy in his relationship and he wanted to get a divorce.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So, I mean, this pretty much sets the tone of the relationship from there on out. So, I think he convinces her to go see a psychiatrist. He's basically saying, look, you're not one of these cat people. You are insane. Like, so you've got to go see a psychiatrist. Your problems aren't reasonable. You're insane.
Does she explicitly say that she thinks she's a cat person? Does she sort of just say, I'm worried that when we eventually be intimate together or we do something, that I'm going to be, I don't know.
I'm going to turn into a cat person. Well, I don't think she said that. I can't remember that actually happening, but she must have said something along that effect, because why would you say you need to see a psychiatrist? Because it's almost like she just doesn't want to have sex because she's just a little bit like worried about the whole thing and how it will happen. And he's like, well, you better go see a psychiatrist then. Sort that shit out.
Yeah, because I mean, there's obviously a metaphor in there.
Yeah.
For something, you know what I mean? But she's like, I'm worried that if I have sex with you, I'll turn into an animal. And he's like, good, good. Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I am ready. Strap me in. Let's go.
Yeah. So she goes to see this psychiatrist who just tells her that it's just all coming from a place of fear, like a fear of like opening yourself up to someone, being intimate with someone. And I think she comes away from that first meeting slightly open-minded, if I can recall correctly. And then what happens is, they still don't get touchy feely. And then that's the point where we spoke about earlier, where Oliver's at work and he's like, I'm just unhappy, just not very happy. And then his colleague Alice says, I love you.
She just complicates the matter.
Yeah.
For no good reason. He's like, I'm unhappy, and she's like, I see this is my chance. Oliver Reed, I've had my eye on you, good old fashioned Americano man, and I love you. And he's like, don't know what to do with that information, Alice.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Then he, I can't remember how it comes out, but it comes out that he has confided in his work colleague about their marital problems, and she's like super embarrassed about
that. Yeah, she just comes home one day and he's there with her and he's like, all right. And he's like, how did you get on at the old psychiatrist?
Yeah, that's right.
And she's like, what are you stitching me up for? She's right there. Oh yeah, I've been chatting to her about everything. Yeah, she's my best friend. Lovely. And she's like, I am fuming.
Yeah.
I am furious with you.
Goodbye, Alice. Again. Yeah, whatever she says. She just turns around and says, see you later.
Yeah, turns around and gives her a head butt. No, she doesn't do that.
So then we got like the real sort of turn towards her separation, isolation from the rest of the group. There's definitely like a dynamic switch there where Alice and you can tell Oliver's starting to think, I don't want to do this marriage thing anymore.
I think I prefer Alice because she's not a cat person. And, you know, I mean, Tinder wasn't around then, but I think... If it was, and he was swiping through, and he saw someone say, "I think I might be a cat person," not 100% sure, he wouldn't get involved in that.
Yeah,
he'd be like, "No, not interested."
Is it swipe left or right when you don't want him?
Swipe right is when you want him, I think.
Oh, okay, so he would have swiped left.
He would have swiped left.
Yeah.
I might have got that completely wrong, but or have I? Or I'm gonna double bluff.
Yeah. Or you've been swiping, been saying yes to the wrong people.
Yeah, yeah. I have witnessed videos of people just swiping constantly like that, just not fussed. Just I'll have anything, as long as you got arms and legs.
They're doing it wrong. They need to get to the zoo and start picking up women there, picking up some chicks there.
Exactly, picking up chicks at the zoo, right by the big cats.
You're gonna have a shake and pick up some chicks at the zoo.
In the gift shop. Yeah. That's where I do it. I do it in the gift shop because you know people are always in the gift shop thinking. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. And I just walk up to him and go, do you want this zebra pencil topper? I'll buy it for you.
It's like, it's not so much, can I buy you a drink? Can I buy you a rubber donkey?
Can I buy a rubber donkey? Or this or this little tiny A6 notepad?
Yeah.
You know? It's £4.50.
It's got a picture of a tiger on it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's furry. It's furry.
Yeah. I'll buy
it for you. And a balloon.
So this is the bit where, Oliver goes to work. He goes, fine, you go off in your bedroom. I'm going to go off to work. I've got some stuff to do. He goes to work, and then him and Alice end up going to this cool little cafe, very hip sort of cafe. And then...
Hipsters.
Yeah. A couple of hipsters right there. and Irina sees them through the window, and she paws at the window. But she doesn't.
She meows at the window, and then they go to let her in, and she just runs off. And they go, for God's sake. And then meowing again, let her in. She's about to come in, then just turns and runs off. Oh, for fuck's
sake. Yeah. So she doesn't do any of that, but she looks in the window and sees them, like, confiding and talking and stuff, and she's like, right, this is when the jealousy really takes over. So now her inner catness is starting to come into play. So then Alice is walking home through the park or wherever she goes. She's walking towards the bus stop. And this is like a really good scene. This is the bit where she's... I actually didn't find it that scary when I watched it the other night, but I watched just that scene on YouTube like before we started the podcast. And it is pretty chilling. Like the music completely drops out and it's just the footsteps, and there's two sets of footsteps. And then... one of the footsteps disappears, which is Irina's, and then you hear the growling, and then the bus sort of like just hisses as it pulls up. And like it's a proper, that's like a jump scare.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a bit weird to sort of feel like have a jump scare. It was a bit like, whoa, Jesus. Yeah, the bus just like hisses into place, and then some bushes are sort of like swaying where it looks like the cat person has possibly leapt up into them. So that's pretty freaky.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then at some point we have the swimming pool scene. I'm trying to remember how we got to that scene. Is she just still chasing her or something?
No, I think it's just a different occasion.
Okay.
It's a different occasion where I think that it's Alice, Oliver Reed, and Irina go somewhere. They go to like a museum or something. I think it's the next day.
Yeah,
and then Alice and Oliver Reed are having a lovely little chat, and I think Irina's just like, I've had enough of this. I've had enough. I'm being shunted out here. So she goes off in a huff.
Yeah. Well, they say something like, we're looking at this, at these old boats or something, old boat pictures. we're doing this, so you might want to do something else. So she goes home, or apparently goes home.
Yeah, but she doesn't. She goes off and starts plotting. What she's going to do next.
Yeah.
Because then Alice goes later that day, goes to her apartment and goes down into the swimming pool, which is lovely. If you've got an apartment building, you've got a lovely big swimming pool in the basement, your apartment building, you're set, I think. You're sorted.
Yeah, it's very cool. So Irina goes in to follow her, and then it's all dark and it's all ominous. And
well, yeah, because Alice turns the light off as she was requested to by someone at the desk.
Yeah.
And as she's about to leave, she hears some noises. She can hear some sort of growling, some sort of weird noise, and that's when you see the shadow of the cat person coming down the stairs. But again, you don't see like a perfect silhouette of a cat coming down the stairs. You kind of just see a sort of a weird swooping sort of silhouette of something.
Well, there's so she's in, Alice jumps in the pool and she's like treading water. And like she's just looking at the shadows left and right, just trying to see where the noises are coming from.
There's a little doggy paddle, doesn't she?
She does, yeah. And I think I read somewhere, or I might have been completely wrong, I think they create the effect of the shadows just by reflecting light in the pool water, and it sort of created a sort of warbling effect on the shadows. I think so.
There was definitely some sort of visual effect at this point, almost like it was like a shadow almost turning into a human form. But I mean, it was very, very loose. It was kind of like a big block shadow here, and it kind of just went like that.
Yeah,
that's kind of all I got from that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Arena just turns on the light. She's like, "Wee, You've been punked."
Yeah, that's just me making noises, and I was just reflecting stuff on the pool.
Is that a bad mirror? Since she's
yeah. So, yeah. So then Alice is like terrified at that point. I mean, this is coming towards the end now, isn't it? Oliver starts planning his divorce. Alice is like terrified of her. What happens there? So,
and then I think
this is when Dr. Judd goes to Alice.
No, I think before this is where Oliver sort of tells Irina that he can't. Actually, Irina speaks to Dr. Judd, finds out that he kind of gives her some advice, and she's like, "You don't have to be afraid of this. You need to face it head on," or whatever. Mm. And then Irina sort of tells Oliver that she's no longer afraid, but then Oliver's like, "Too late. Too late.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I am already in love with Alice. Me and her are gonna run off to Vegas and get married." No, he doesn't say that. But
he pretty much says, "I want a divorce." And then Dr. Judd goes to see her.
Dr. Judd goes to see her and makes his move. He's like,
"Which
look."
Which is weird. Was he planning this all the time when he said get a divorce?
He could have been.
I didn't really get that.
He could have been, couldn't he?
The kiss kind of came out of nowhere to me. He just leans in and kisses her.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he came across as perhaps a tiny little bit creepy anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, the man carries a sword around. He's not to be trusted. If you carry a sword around these days, you get done.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you carry a samurai sword just like into the co-op, the panic button's going to get pressed.
Yeah. So Dr. Judd, he goes to see her. I think he's going to... I don't exactly know what his whole thing is here, but he ends up kissing her. And then she turns into the cat monster. I think we've got some actual visual effects here, because we have like cat demons spewing out of her mouth. And then she kills him. And then she runs away. Alice and Oliver arrive and she runs past them. They see that Dr. Judd's dead. And then they follow Irina to the zoo, where she opens the panther cage. That's right. There's a panther cage in the zoo. She opens the panther cage. The panther runs out, disappears, gets killed by a taxi. and then she dies because she had the sword impaled in her. And then right at the end, we have... it ends a little bit, like, abruptly, but, you know, all costs money. the guy, Oliver, says, "She was right all along." Like, something along those lines. Like, he says, "Oh, no, yeah, she was right."
"She was bloody right. After all this time, she was bloody right." Yeah.
Oh, right.
I'd be like, yeah, but you never saw her turn into a cat person. So why would you do that? Yeah, there's a bit before when they're still in the apartment, and the cat's sort of like in the room, and you can't really see anything, and he sort of picks up a cross and he's like, "In the name of God, please leave us alone."
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing I think we forgot to discuss is when the dead sheep turned up zoo.
Yeah.
Sheep at the zoo? I mean,
pretty
a bit naff, isn't
it? Zoo, yeah.
That's a pretty shit zoo. I mean, they got a black panther, and they got sheep, and then they got like just some earwigs.
Did you see Baphomet was hiding in the sheep pen?
He was so small though that no one would have ever noticed.
Yeah.
He would have just been.
And then also the sheep thing I remember, there's like the cat paw prints, wet paw prints that turn into human footprints.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good visual. Like, that sort of like shows you that there's a transformation without really needing to show it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty cool technique.
I think we've covered most of the actual story. I mean, it's a fairly sort of straightforward story, not so many characters, and I think it's a lot more focused and makes a lot more sense to me personally than The Devil Rides Out did.
Yeah. Oh, I suppose it's hard to compare. I think we're only comparing because I suppose they're both quite a few decades.
Yeah.
A few decades old. But even that, it was like this came 20 like 6 years before.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's like comparing a film today with RoboCop. So, turning out RoboCop's looking amazing. So
can't compare anything to RoboCop, mate.
Gremlins.
But yeah, it's like comparing something to something from like 1991. It's like going, oh, the visual effects in this. Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, in comparison to like, I don't know, Home Alone. Or was that 90?
Yeah. You should never really compare Transformers with Home Alone, though.
similar stories, though.
Like a fortress defense.
Megatron is like, is Harry, and Optimus Prime is Marv.
I wish they got those guys to do the voices.
Yeah.
I was always really impressed that they got the guy who did Optimus Prime's voice in the cartoons to do the voice in the films. Perfect. Like, it's like such an iconic voice. You can't really.
It's exactly the kind of thing that like a film would just not do as well. So for them to actually do it is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Shitty pants moments and jump scares. I think we discussed it during the story itself. That Luton bus moment, which is called a Luton bus now, where you have the ratcheting up of tension and then a hissing noise that isn't actually... So normally I think they do it nowadays with like trains, like a subway train or like pull up. Exactly. And you'll go, oh shit, they're getting killed. Oh no, it's just a train. Like that technique's done quite a lot, but it is pretty damn effective.
It's effective, yeah, but it does feel a bit cheap sometimes, doesn't it? You feel like, oh Jesus.
Nowadays, but like that, if that was the first time.
Oh yeah, then.
If
it's done right, it feels good. It's just, I think what I don't like nowadays is when you get these jump scare moments or these where it's just like a really shrill, like just really loud orchestral like strings or something where it just goes like, and you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it just gets like your startle response going rather than actually being creepy. But this film is creepy as well. I'll give it that. So when I think about like this film, I think it's about... mainly about like marital insecurities. So like insecurities about yourself and like opening yourself up, having sex and having physical contact with someone. Insecurities about like faithfulness and cheating and that sort of thing. Insecurities about whether you're a normal person or whether deep down you're a cat person.
Exactly. It's just like about stuff like jealousy manifesting itself as something that turns you into a monster.
I do think like there's a whole thing where she says, look, Oliver, I think I'm a cat person, and then he says, you're crazy, and then at the end he goes, oh no, yeah you were right. Like, I think there's something there as well. Like, not just sort of, because as a man, like, you constantly like the logical, I'm just stereotyping it, but like the logical side of it. And I think this is very much plays like against that. So I like that. I like it. It's saying, don't, the man, you may be logical, but you are wrong as well sometimes. I like it.
I reckon he'll tell that story when he's old. He'll just be like, look, I used to have a woman. I was married to her, my first wife. She thought she was a cat person. Crazy, wasn't it? She was, after all. The
like
end.
Like a tweet. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, like a tweet.
Married once. Turned out to be a cat person.
Got it.
Hashtag.
I should have noticed. There were all the signs were there.
Yeah. Litter tray.
Litter tray,
but no pet cat.
Wanted to go out. Wanted to go out. Wouldn't go out. Wanted to come in. Wouldn't come in.
Sleeps on the foot of the bed.
She used to go out into the garden.
The tree bark.
Scratch the tree. Meow at other cats constantly for hours.
Yeah.
Just fight if you're going to fight, for God's sake.
She used to brush her ass against my leg when she wanted something.
he liked that, though.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't think that was weird because he quite liked it. He was like,
so like starved for physical contact. Have you seen that?
He'd take anything. He'd take anything.
That episode of Scrubs where JD's starved for attention, and then he pushes shoulders at someone, and then he goes, oh. It's so funny.
Exactly like that.
Okay, so dude, I've got some trivia. Last time was the first time you didn't get stuff right.
There we go.
So let's see how it goes.
I had a bad week.
So, you know, they had all the budget problems with this film. Towards the end of the shoot, they had two crews working at the same time. One was doing the animal stuff, and the other one was doing the people stuff. I think that sounds pretty shoddy, but no, that's true. What do you reckon, true or false?
Yeah, true.
True. That is true. 1-0.
1-0.
There is actually a tribe of cat people in folklore, but they are Hungarian and not Serbian.
This sounds like something that would be false.
Correct.
False. I reckon that's a true statement, but it's involving other countries or something.
I don't know.
Because I know how you try to get me, mate.
Yeah.
I know how you try to get me.
So
take me for a mug.
Val Luton has a phobia of cats, but he also has a phobia of being touched by other humans.
Does he?
Well, it's true or false. It's
true,
you, isn't it?
True. True.
True, apparently. Apparently it's true. Okay, so supposedly a sequel was knocking around for the film, but instead of people turning into cats, they turned into dogs. when this section arrived, they turned into dogs, and the film was going to be called Cat People 2. This time they're dogs.
Doggy Star.
This time they're dogs was the tagline. Not cats anymore, this time they're dogs.
That's false, isn't it?
Well, let me finish.
Oh!
It's true. It's true, but the film was actually going to be called The Curse of the Cat People, and it was an actual film they brought out. So
what?
So I think you're fine, Ben. You got that one wrong.
Damn. Oh, God, you really got me there.
No, like we'll void that one because I did trick you with a false title, Cat People
2. Let me finish. Yeah, I like that one, Cat People 2. Doggy Style is probably just as good.
Doggy Style, yeah. I think I like This Time They're Dogs.
but this time, they're dogs.
The film was in theaters for so long, the critics who bashed the film originally ended up rewriting their reviews favorably.
What, because it was in there for so long?
No, they had like enough chance to go watch it again.
Oh, to go watch it again. Well, yeah. That's true.
True, yeah. I think you got all those right, so you're back on...
Oh, man, I am back on form.
Back on form.
I am back in a game.
So, time to grade the film. I know what I'm going to give it. Actually, I've just changed my mind a little bit just through this conversation we've had here. What are you going to give it?
I'm going to ask you to... You always tell me, get me to answer first.
Okay.
I'm going to get you to answer.
Well, I was going to give it a B+, but... After learning more about the film itself and like the way it's produced, about Val Luton, and it's like it's put me a lot of these scenes and the sequences in a better light for me. So I'm going to give it an A-. And I do fancy watching it again. I
think I wouldn't mind seeing the remake as well. I mean, I'm sure the remake is nowhere near as good, but I want to see if they've sexed it up.
Yeah.
I want to see. You know, if we get to see any sort of transformation, an American Werewolf in London style cat transformation, I'd enjoy.
That'd be cool. Yeah. So what grade are you going to give it?
B. B. just a B. I was going to add a minus, but I think I'll go for a B.
That averages out at B+, right?
That's so pretty good.
A-, B+. Okay. Yeah, I mean it's super atmospheric, and I like that it's sort of how these sort of horror things work. So a lot of horror movies are made in a similar way. They always seem to be constrained for budgets, and they always seem to find a way to tell the story anyway. And it tends to be the ones that have no budget that do things differently and like a little bit more interestingly. And it's those films that are then copied and. Like all your slasher flicks did a very similar sort of thing. They didn't have the special effects, so they did with what they had, and then they get sort of aped and turned into other things. And I feel like this film is like a good example of what that is. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think I have to wholeheartedly agree with you there.
So next time on Horror Hangout. Going back to the future, and we are watching I want to say Day of the Dead. It is Day of the Dead, isn't it? Not Dawn of the Dead.
Day of the Dead we're watching, yeah, I believe.
Okay, cool. And we have a resident expert on. Did I tell
you
that?
Yeah, we do.
You
did tell me. Yeah, we did tell me. So we have the first official Horror Hangout guest.
Yeah, Mr. Dominic Biddulph is going to come on. And I texted him yesterday and said, next step is Day of the Dead. He said, I've watched it twice since I asked him before or told him about the show. So he's so on it. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be good. We haven't had we've had a sort of zombie film. The Deadites are sort of zombies.
Yeah, yeah. This is a more traditional. This is George Romero, isn't it? So,
yeah. Are you excited?
I'm always excited, Luke.
that's like I'm the always. End of the Avengers with the Hulk. That's my trick. I'm always excited.
It was a really good. It was a really well-timed transformation from the Hulk there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He transformed just in time to punch the old Chitauri caterpillar on the nose. What if like he hadn't fully transformed and his hand was still Bruce Banner's hand, and he went bang, and he went, oh bloody heck!
Well, he just got angry, wasn't he? And he turned into
broken fingers.
Although it's a very sort of cool moment in the Avengers film, does it really make sense? Like, I'm just always angry. So
I'm always angry, which means I can transform at any point. But it doesn't make sense because they don't carry on with that idea into Age of Ultron or into anything else. It's just never.
It's just there as a cool thing.
It's just there as a cool thing because in Age of Ultron, it's really, really. It's really made out that he's not in control.
Yeah.
But
also, earlier in this, in that same Avengers film, he hulked out because he got angry.
Yeah.
Maybe
he's saying, like, I'm not in control of it, but I will. Like, it's really easy for me to turn into the Hulk, but it's not so easy.
Oh, yeah.
It's not so easy for me to control it or turn back into Bruce Banner. Because, well, we're going to get Hulk in Thor Ragnarok, aren't we? So we'll see. What the hell happens with that?
But
he's supposed to be on Planet Hulk, or no, we're doing not Planet Hulk. He's just on another planet fighting Thor, apparently, in this one, in some sort of gladiator type arena.
Yeah, I think it's this is off the topic of cat people, but I think it's I think they're going to probably do the Planet Hulk storyline. No, sorry, Planet Hulk, not World War Hulk, Planet Hulk storyline, but with the Thor Ragnarok storyline thrown in.
Yeah,
should be good. Anyway, so this show is brought to you by the Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to www.hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Also become a patron for early access to episodes, bonus content and heaps of free stuff at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to that guy for doing the music. Bollocks. I will find out who that guy is.
Oh no.
Thanks to Acast for hosting
this
show.
This guy listens every single week and he's angry.
Livid. I'll find out. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving the 5-star rating and review in iTunes. Remember to hit subscribe. Also, search for Horror Hangout in Facebook if you're into this kind of thing. And join the little group we've got there. And thanks to my co-host, Mr. Ben Errington, for being a real horror dude. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.